In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith. We are on lesson 151, Satisfaction for Sin. Okay. We have an image. It looks like the emperor or king standing before the bishop, who is, looks like he's pointing his finger at him. We have soldiers in the background, and the caption reads, Theodosius the Great, Roman Emperor, although a just ruler, once ordered the massacre of about 7,000 people of Thessalonica in revenge for a tumult that they had caused in the year 390. St. Ambrose, then Archbishop of Milan, thereupon forbade the emperor's entrance into the church. Theodosius acknowledged his sin and humbly stated that King David had likewise sinned. St. Ambrose rebuked him, answering that the emperor must then imitate David in his penance. Theodosius made reparation to the Thessalonians and did an 8 months severe canonical penance. Why does the priest give us a penance after confession? The priest gives us a penance after confession that we may make some atonement to God for our sins, receive help to avoid them in the future, and make some satisfaction for the temporal punishment due to them. The penance is satisfaction for sin, some penitential work imposed by the priest as a reparation to God for the offense offered to him by sin. In the early days of the Church, public or canonical penance was imposed for public sins. One who apostatized for fear had to do penance for 7 years, during which time he was excluded from Holy Communion and was required to fast on certain days. Justice requires that an injury done to another should be repaired. One who steals must restore the stolen property. God forgave Adam's sin, but his penance lasted his whole life. In the same way, our guilt is forgiven in confession, but we must make satisfaction for our sins. Our eternal punishment is forgiven, but not our temporal punishment. Temporal punishment is the punishment or penance that we have to suffer for our sins, either here on earth or in purgatory. One who breaks the civil law is not let off even if he is sorry. He is given a penalty imposed by the judge. How much more should the priest, the spiritual judge, impose a penalty or penance to satisfy for the offense offered to God when we commit sin? Today, the most common form of satisfaction is the saying of certain prayers imposed. If the sin calls for material reparation, restoration of property or public apology is also sometimes imposed. One should not complain if the penance given by the confessor is more than other confessors usually impose. One should instead thank God for the opportunity to make some satisfaction here on earth, thus shortening his purgatory. If the penance consists of prayers, we should say it, if possible, as soon as we leave the confessional. It is wrong to put off the performance of a penance too long. One who intentionally omits the penance commits sin, although the sins that were forgiven do not return. To omit a penance for venial sins would be a venial sin. A serious penance for mortal sins would be grievous. If we cannot perform the penance imposed, we may request our confessor to change it. We may not, on our own authority, substitute another penance for the one imposed. What kinds of punishment are due to sin? Two kinds of punishment are due to sin: the eternal punishment of hell, due to unforgiven mortal sins, and temporal punishment, lasting only for a time, due to venial sins, and also to mortal sins after they have been forgiven. Even if our Lord by his death fully atoned for all our sins, we need to do penance for them. He made salvation available on condition that we do our part. In a similar way, a physician prescribes medicine. If one refuses it, he is not cured. If there were no need of penance, the most hardened sinners would receive the same treatment as the most saintly men, a condition impossible to the justice of God. Christ himself wills that as we are to share in his glory, we must first share in his sufferings. Quote, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ, yet so, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. From Romans chapter 8, verse 17. The punishment for sin prescribed by God is clear. For mortal sin, eternal punishment in hell. This punishment we can escape by the sacrament of penance, or at the moment of death if we are not able to receive the sacrament of penance by an act of perfect contrition. For mortal sins which have been forgiven, and venial sins not completely atoned for, temporal punishment. The sacrament of penance, worthily received, always takes away all eternal punishment, but it does not always take away all temporal punishment. Why does God require temporal punishment for sins? God requires temporal punishment for sin to satisfy his justice, to teach us the great evil of sin, and to warn us not to sin again. Temporal punishment is due even for given sins, because human contrition is also imperfect. This temporal punishment is an atonement made to divine sanctity and justice. After confession, our contrition generally requires more satisfaction than the few prayers given as penance. Quote, Nathan said to David, the Lord hath taken away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Nevertheless, because thou hast given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, for this thing the child that is born to thee shall surely die. The second book of Kings, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Temporal punishment, as the word implies, lasts for only a time. It has a definite end. Holy Scripture furnishes us many examples of temporal punishment having been imposed by God. Mary, the sister of Moses, was pardoned the sin she committed by murmuring against her brother. Nevertheless, God inflicted on her the temporal penalty of leprosy and of 7 days' separation from the people. Numbers chapter 12. We pay the debt of our temporal punishment either in this life or in purgatory. What are the chief means of satisfying the debt of our temporal punishment besides the penance imposed after confession? They are prayer, fasting, almsgiving, the works of mercy, the patient endurance of sufferings, and indulgences. Quote, but Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, I give one half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. St. Luke chapter 19, verses 8 and 9. Devout persons will not be satisfied with doing the penance imposed by the priest. They will do voluntary work of charity and mortification in atonement. They will, besides, bear patiently all ills sent by God. The penance we perform and the sufferings we bear patiently not only reduce the temporal punishment due our sins, but also contribute to the increase of our eternal happiness. This is what we call gaining merits for heaven. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments? I do like the comparison of the priest to the judge, or as to the physician. Our Lord is the great physician, and I really love the meditation or the thought that our cross, our daily cross, that our Lord says that we need to deny ourselves and take up this daily cross, is truly God's prescription for our eternal health, for our eternal life. And even though the prescription, the medicine that is prescribed, is bitter or difficult, it is, this prescription is given us by a loving physician, not only the doctor, but truly our Father in heaven. And it is not to destroy us, and God takes really no pleasure in making us suffer, but he takes pleasure in us willingly embracing this suffering for the love of him as reparation for our offenses. His justice demands that this satisfaction be made, and when we willingly embrace this punishment, this satisfaction for the love of him, it is very pleasing to him, and not only does it take away the punishment, the eternal punishment, or the punishment that would have to be paid in purgatory, but it is also an opportunity to build up grace, to build up merit. And we can add, you might say, to the treasury of the church, if we, once we have satisfied for our own sins, then we can help alleviate the suffering and penalty that others have to suffer with because of their own sins. And so the idea that the priest in the confessional is as the judge of God, but he is also this physician. And we don't complain when the physician prescribes medicine that is bitter or distasteful. We gladly take the medicine with the understanding that this is going to restore us to health or make our life easier or better. And I think in a similar way, we should look at the penances imposed in the confessional, but also our daily cross, the daily mortifications that we are given the opportunity to embrace for the love of God. These are prescribed by God. It is God's will that we embrace this cross, this difficulty, and it is for the good of our souls, even though it may make us uncomfortable or cause pain in our physical bodies. It will eventually be for the eternal glory of our souls. We have no questions or comments. I will then end with the prayer, or the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendus super vos, et manius semper. Amen.